I'd like to turn to a verse that I'm sure all of us has memorized at some point, maybe as a small child and maybe later on in life, but I would guess that you're all very familiar with this verse. It's in Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, and I would venture that many of you would know what that might include without turning there. But the verse starts out, blessed or blessed. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We call this a beatitude. I looked the word beatitude up, and the definition is blessedness, felicity of the highest kind, consummate bliss, used of the joys of heaven. It also means the declaration of blessedness made by our Savior to particular virtues. So the particular virtue here is that we would hunger and thirst after righteousness. And there is a state of felicity. You know what that is? Bliss, happiness. There's a happy state of those that would hunger and thirst after righteousness. A happy state is one where it's more optimistic. If you are the type of personality that would tend to be more pessimistic, then if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you would be less pessimistic. If you're the type that is generally optimistic, then your optimism would be even more enhanced. So, blessed, happy. It's a state of blissfulness. Knowing that your reward, your dividends are beyond this life and beyond just gratification at the moment. I remember seeing a man that wanted some gratification, and he struggled really hard, and his gratification only accelerated his distress that he had. And the man was a smoker, and he shook so bad that he couldn't get the cigarette out of the package and into his mouth. He took the package out of his pocket, and he was shaking so bad that the cigarettes just started to bounce out of the package. You know, some people will kind of shake them and make them come out. Well, he was shaking so bad that I thought they was just going to spill all over the floor. And he got over and he put his hand kind of against something, and he finally got a cigarette in his mouth because his head was bobbing and arms were shaking, and it was terrible. Had shortness of breath, all of these kind of things, but he was determined to have a smoke. And then I thought it was going to be really interesting to see how he lit it, because you can only imagine the lighter and his cigarette all going different directions at the same time. And he finally, he got himself, he had to lean up against a car that I was working on at the time. It's been years ago. But he leaned up against the car, and he got his hand and his mouth stable enough that he could get that thing lit. And you know, when he got it lit, he was able to calm down. It's something about that. It kind of, y'all that know about what that kind of things, you know what I'm talking about. You've probably seen somebody like this. And I thought, but the gratification is only for a very short period of time. It's not going to do any long-term good for him, but this blessedness here will do us long-term good. Now, we talked last Sunday about being careful for nothing, like being able to take our troubles and give them, really give them to the Lord, and not being anxious about whether He was going to help resolve them. And this morning, I want to talk to us about something that's a little different slant on our relationship with the Lord. I still believe what I said last Sunday is true, and we need to put it in practice. But there is something that if we want this state of blessedness, this state of felicity, this state of bliss, there is something that is contingent on us. Not that we accelerate our worry. That was last Sunday about how to turn our worry loose. But we have a major responsibility to get to the place of we have a responsibility to put the things in place that will enhance this relationship with the Lord. And it's called hungering and thirsting after righteousness. If we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, this verse says, we'll be filled. So I just want to ask you, are you hungry this morning? Or do you prefer to just sample the things that look good? I believe it's a question we all need to ask ourselves from time to time. Are we really hungry? And I'd like to try to draw something on the board here, if I can get my little apparatus to work. We, many times, look at our relationship with God, and I wonder sometimes how we really look at our situation. I think sometimes we like to be able to be part of God's blessing. This verse says that we blessed or happy is a man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, because he'll be filled. And I think if I ask everybody here, do you like to be blessed of the Lord? You would say, absolutely. That's a pretty absurd question. So if we put God's realm, if God is in the middle, and we put Him there like that, and this, if this is the sphere that He operates in, probably the best circle I've ever drawn in a long time. But if we will be in the center of His will, you know what that means? We have to have the same focal point that He does. And this is, we're never going to include all of God in our little finite abilities, but we're going to be able to be in the center of His will. He says here, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled. If this is our little circle right here, if this is me, but this whole thing is God, that's not going to turn out so good. All right, that might get confusing. But anyway, if the whole big picture is God's plan for mankind, everything of my life can be part of God's plan. All right? It's God's plan for you to have a job. It's God's plan for you to have a spouse. It's God's plan for you to be able to train your children in the way they ought to go. It's God's plan for you to be able to be part of a congregation. It's God's plan for you to be able to be honest and upright with it. It's all part of God's plan. He wants you to have clothes to wear. He wants you to have food to eat. He wants you to have a house to live in. Another scripture says if we'll seek His kingdom first, then all these things will be added to us. It's all in His kingdom. But many times, instead of trying to see ourselves in the middle of God's will, we feel like that we're over here somewheres. And this is me. And then we try to reach out enough to where, well, we might even go a little further and say we got part of our life that's in God's plan. You know, I heard listening to someone else preaching just recently, and they said, you know, they're talking about praying, and they think, well, you know, we got there to service, and we got down for prayer, and someone led out into prayer, and we've really felt like there was made connection with the Lord, and I'm all prayed up for the week. No, that's not the way it works. You know, we can't do enough praying here. If we prayed all service long, it wouldn't be enough for the whole week. We've got to continually seek the Lord. And we might say, well, I go to service, but, you know, I've got such a big area in my life. Some of it's completely off the chart, as you see over here. And we think that we're part in God's will. And we do some things that's pleasing to the Lord. But we don't put ourselves in the center. Jesus said here, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Make it your life. And what will happen? You'll be filled. You know, a good appetite is usually an indication of a happy spirit. You get somebody that's real picky with what they eat, they probably are grumpy. Just mark that down somewheres. There's probably something about them that is just a little grumpy. But if you get somebody that says, there's food, they say, well, I'm ready. And they come in and they say, well, how do you like it? And you say, well, it tastes good. Jessica fixed something and I had it for supper. I never had it quite like that, but, you know, it's good. It doesn't really matter a whole lot to me. It was not something I couldn't stand by any means. It was good. You know, when we have an appetite, Jesus said you'd be filled. I wonder how many times the people that stand out there with the little sign that says hungry, I wonder how many times they turn down food. I would venture a lot, because they really want money. They should have said, you know, if you ever get in that place and you want to go stand by the street, just put on the sign, the truth needs some money. Or, I don't want to work, will you please help me? Just do something like that. Instead, they put the sign that says hungry out there. And you know what people do? They try to fill them. If you come to my house and you said, I'm hungry, you know what my wife's going to say? I think I can find something for you to eat. Well, I know we got food at the house. You do too. And if I came to your house and said, brother, sister, so-and-so, I haven't had anything all day to eat. The first thing they do is say, sit right there. I'll be back in a moment. You'll have something to eat. You see, if we have an appetite, we're going to get something to eat. We're going to be filled. There is, naturally speaking, we are not short on food in our society by any means, literal food. I don't believe God intends, nor is it His plan for us to be short on spiritual food. But we can be over here in our own little world and say, you know, when I'm on the back side of my events of life, I feel like I'm spiritually starving. Well, no joke, you're not in the middle of God's will. But when we put ourselves in the center of God's will and we say we're hungry, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be something for us to eat. And we say, I just feel like I'm starving out spiritually. Well, why? Instead of being here, we've relocated ourselves over there. Or maybe that's where we were and we never got here. But if we'll get in the middle where God's atmosphere is, we're going to have something. He says, happy, blessed, this place of contentment is going to be there if we have the hunger and the thirst for the things of God. Does that mean we only want to come to church? No. There's a lot of things that's part of God's plan for humanity. And when you have a home, and when you have a family, and when you have things that's part of God's plan, He wants that to prosper too. Okay? So I'd like for us to look now at Psalms 42, and notice what the psalmist said. We're going to look at a couple of psalms because I feel like the psalmist had a hungering for the Lord. He says here in Psalms 42, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." When you see a animal that is panting, some animals pant because they don't sweat. But by and large, animals, when they're panting, it means they're thirsty. He says here, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" There's people all around us that says, if God was real, then you wouldn't have any trouble. Or if God is a loving God, why is there so much trouble in the world? And all of those negative things. And this writer says, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" It's not a new thing for somebody to accuse God of being the creator of trouble. It was there when the psalmist was there. He says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Why is it that I feel discouraged? Am I in the place that I ought to be, where my whole life is in God's plan?" Is it? Or do you just drift in and out of God's plan? I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves. If everything is lining up, then I'm in the center of God's will. But, you know, if things don't line up real well and there's something I just feel like I need to do or I want to do, and well, we're going to have to put God on hold for a minute. I want to tell you, you're going to get yourself in a place where you're wondering why things are happening. But he says, "Why is it that I'm in this situation? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help of his countenance, for the help of being in his presence." When you are, as your heart, not the heart, not the deer, not the creature, but if your heart will pant after the Lord, there's going to be something that comes and satisfies you. He said, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." Are you that thirsty for God? Are you that hungry for the things of God? If you are, there's going to be something to eat. If you're not, you're going to find yourself drifting out of the center of God's will. that make sense? If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, Matthew records Jesus saying, you'll be filled. You'll have your needs met. You'll find it a place of felicity, of blessedness, of happiness, of contentment. You'll find that. But if you're not hungering and thirsting, you know why older people many times lose weight? They're not hungry anymore. Food don't taste good. They forget to eat. Many reasons, but they don't eat. There's not a hunger. You know why little children gain weight and grow and all that? They're hungry all the time. You know what I'm talking about? And before they can talk, they cry. They let you know it's time to eat. Whether it's every 2 hours or 4 hours or whatever it is, I'm hungry. What do they do when they wake up in the morning? I'm hungry. What do the boys do when they come home from school? Anything in the fridge to eat? If you can just wait a little while, we'll have dinner together. Well, I need something now because I'm hungry. Well, we don't want you to spoil the appetite. This is what we dealt with, okay? We've got to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich now. We'll eat supper later. They was growing, you see? I'm hungry. Are you growing spiritually? Are you hungry for it? Or is it like, broccoli. I don't do broccoli. Had lunch with a man this week, and he ordered a number five or whatever hamburger. Don't put lettuce and tomato on it. What's your problem? You getting a hamburger, you don't want lettuce and tomato? I mean, that's part of it. Where you at? I'm hungry for the things of the Lord. Or, well, don't give me any lettuce and tomato. Don't let that get very close to where I'm at, because really I'm not here. That's really not me. Really, I'm over here. Maybe I'm a little closer. Maybe I'm not as far out as this fella is, but maybe me is here. And where most of my circle of my life is in, maybe I'm right here on the fringe. Maybe I'm right there. So most of my life, at least half of it, is in God's plan. Or maybe I'm just off center a little bit, to where just a little bit of my life goes out of the will of the Lord. I don't know where we are today, but I will tell you, the more we hunger, the closer we're going to get to the center of God's will. The more we're thirsty, the bigger, better appetite, the more He's going to be able to fill us. And the more He's able to fill us, the more blessed we are going to be. The greater our state of felicity, the greater our state of blessedness and happiness and contentment is going to be. But if I'm looking for a way for God to just fill my needs, and I'm really not wanting to hunger and thirst after righteousness, we're going to be disappointed. It's not going to come together for us. We're going to always struggle. So, I have another little illustration for you. A number of years ago, one of my sons got to reading about magnet motors. I don't know, some of y'all may have heard about this, but it was a little motor that was supposed, it's braking technology using magnets instead of electricity to create power. And this person gave us, I'm telling you, you can take magnets and make it cause other things to just jump away, getting some good magnets, okay? So he used his money, and we spent hours together trying to build a permanent, just a magnet motor. You know something I found out, and this is a conclusion I finally came to, you know, I told him, I said, listen, here's the deal. I think that we could get a machine shop and make things a lot more precise and eliminate all the variables of our crude construction and all of that, and it still wouldn't work. And here's why. Because if you could make something with magnets that would take off, the thing that you'd have to really be worried about is this throttling this thing back if it was producing power. If it's producing power, we got to keep this thing from overspeeding itself. But we didn't. We always had to help it. You know, it would go so far, go back and forth a couple times, and then it would stop because it would stick together. And you got to always help it a little bit. Every time you helped it, you know what you did? You just interjected it. And we, sometimes, we will want to say, well, you know, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I want His approval. I want to meet Him in peace. All of those kind of things. But you know that I have a life to live. Yes, you do. But the more we live it in the and hunger and thirst after righteousness, the more fulfilled we'll find ourselves being in a place where God's blessings is richer and richer and richer. If we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. We'll have the things that we need. And we'll... Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be in a place of worship where everybody was so sincere and everybody was so hungry for the things of God that you had to worry about throttling people back? What kind of atmosphere would that? This is not an accusation, all right? Just want us to do a self-examination. If all of us here today was like, I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness. What can I do to further His cause? You know what kind of problems we'd have? I'm not saying we got problems, okay? How do we keep from this thing getting just taken off? That's the reason we have throttle plates on engines, to keep them from running away. Because if you just didn't have a throttle plate to shut the thing down, and you just fed it all the fuel. If you didn't regulate how much fuel was going out of the tank into the engine, you know what had happened? It'd overspeed and self-destruct. And that's one of our big problems in fixing things, is making sure something doesn't overspeed. Get too much fuel, it'll tear itself up. Why? Because there's so much power and so much energy. You know what happens when we hunger and thirst after righteousness as individuals? There'll be power that comes from that. There'll be change that happens in ourselves, yes, but there'll be change in our surroundings. It'll be a force to contend with. You know what happens though? We get kind of satisfied. You know, if you fill me up on lasagna. I like lasagna. You fill me up on lasagna. That blonde lasagna my wife and some of y'all make once in a while, that's really good stuff. But I can't eat a whole 9x13 pan of it. I might eat two pieces and say, nah, not anymore. That's enough. I'm full. And then maybe we put it in the refrigerator and think we'll eat it tomorrow. But tomorrow it don't sound as good as fried chicken does or something else. You know, we have to stop and ask ourselves, are we hungry for the things of God? Are we thirsty for that? He says He'd fill us. And we'd find that state blessed, happy. It's a state and it's a place of feeling fulfilled and rewarded in life. Let's notice Psalms 107. And And beginning in verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them." They was in trouble. Are there any people that's genuinely hungry that stand out by the street corner with a little sign that says, "We'll work for food"? I believe there are some. I'm not discounting that at all. They was hungry. He says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." What happens when we hunger and thirst? We'll be filled. They cried. They were hungry and thirsty. He delivered them. "And he led them forth by the right way, and that they might go into the city of habitation." You like to be, you know, the best place to be full is at home instead of away from home. Because if you're really full and you're content and feeling real blessed, I'm talking about natural food, and you're home at that time, it's a good time to take a nap. And he says here, "He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation," a place that's home. He said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with" what? Goodness. Did you know if we will hunger and thirst after righteousness, we will be filled with goodness? If we don't hunger and we're not thirsty and we're just a taste tester, we won't have that feeling, that full feeling of goodness. I hope it's making sense. Let's go to Jude, the third verse. The third verse of the book of Jude. He says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should" do what? Earnestly contend. How does that figure in? I thought we were supposed to bring all of our troubles and just leave them with the Lord. We are. You know, sometimes bringing our trouble, being able to gather everything up and bring it to the Lord is earnestly contending. You ever have a whole mess of troubles and didn't know how you could get it all? Rodney and I was working on something, and we was working on some pipes under his house. And whoever lived there and worked on it before blessed us with a lot of stuff under there. And it had had cable run for, I don't know, cable TV or something in the past. And it was tangled up, and in amongst all this cabled up tangle was a drop light cord. And somebody had left a drop light there, which is nice when you're working under the house, we could see what we were doing. But, you know, I think this drop light cord must be 25 or 30 feet long, but it was tangled up in about 50 or 80 feet of cable. And so we're trying to use this drop light, and finally I said, let's stop. We're going to get some of this out of here. So we started chopping off cable and pulling it out and untangling this stuff. And, you know, sometimes our troubles in life are like that. And there's things that are making us feel anxious. And some of the most earnest contention that we can do for our soul's welfare is getting all this thing scrambled up and cut it off at the ends. And we didn't find the ends of it. We just cut it off and got it out of our way. And we pulled out this mess of wires and took an old tank out from underneath the house and got all this stuff out of there. And now it's like, oh, we got some room. We'll crawl around here without getting tangled up. We got rid of it. You know, when we take our anxieties and our troubles to the Lord and say, "Lord, what do I do with all of this?" We're earnestly contending. You follow what I'm saying here? When we have a lot of distress in our life, instead of being anxious over it, gather it up as best we can and take it over there and say, Lord, what do we do with this? I don't want it. It's making a mess in my life. That's earnestly contending for the faith. He said, let's read this again. He says, I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It is needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. None of us here are hearing the gospel message for the first time today. You heard it before. You know what it's supposed to do for us. It's supposed to deliver us from our troubles. It's supposed to help us with everyday life. And it does. But you know what can happen? It can be like that 9x13 pan of lasagna. We're not going to eat it all at once, but we got to still have an appetite for it. We got to hunger and thirst after righteousness continually if we want to continually be filled. If we want it to be a powerful element in our life, if we want it to shape our future and shape our character, and shape our, you know, there was different people down through the time in different parts of the world have done things to their children that shaped or misshaped their bodies. Some of them stretched their neck. Some of them flattened their forehead. Some of them done other things that we look on like that's horrific. Why would you do that? But they shaped them. We can only shape our character if we hunger and thirst after righteousness continually. I hope this makes sense to us this morning. You want this congregation to be powerful? You want your life to have an impact? We got to hunger and thirst. We got to do more than have a sign that says, I want some blessings. Isn't that really what those signs say that people's holding up? I want some blessings. I want blessings too. And here's how they come. If I'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, I need a checkup. We do DOT inspections on trucks. That's so that when we do get stopped, we're all in good shape. We need to do I didn't thought of a good acronym. Y'all help me out this morning. We need some kind of annual inspection or semi-annual inspection or monthly inspection. We need to be accountable for our hungering and thirsting. I've been so full that I felt like I needed a wheelchair to get away from the table. Probably shouldn't have done it, but I've done that before. I've been so full it like hurt to stand up. And then if I go sit down somewhere else, it hurt a while. Now I don't advise that. But I've never been that, you know, I still got hungry after that. And you can be so full from being in service and someone's, what they said or the prayer or the Spirit of the Lord can bless us so much that we feel like, my, I could live for a week. Wrong. You can't do it. I don't care how blessed you are after a service, here or anywhere else, if you go away and try to live a whole week without getting a hold of the Lord for yourself, you're going to be in trouble next weekend. Just put that down in your little book somewheres. You are never going to make it for any period of time. Yes, we can look back just like we look back at the victories we gained, and they can be an encouragement for the battle we're facing today. But we can't live off of it. Something happens to the food we take in. You can be so full you can't hardly move. And tomorrow or the next day, you're going to be hungry again. And you're going to need to continually have an appetite if you want to have that blessed state in your life. And if I took a survey this morning, I would venture that everyone here it would say, yes, I want to be blessed of the Lord. I want to have that state of felicity, of happiness, of contentment, and knowing that everything is good between me and the Lord. I think you'd all want that. I do. And I'll tell you, if I don't continually hunger and thirst after righteousness, it's going to start dissipating. I'm going to get weaker and weaker and weaker, and I'm going to die. That's what's going to happen. And instead of the cause of God being promoted, it's going to be withdrawn. So how hungry are you this morning? I think I want to stop. I got more I want to say on this. I think I want to stop this morning. I want us to think about this today through the afternoon. I want us to consider, how hungry am I? And where am I? Am I in the middle? Am I trying to get there? It's okay to be working towards the center of God's will. Do I want to be there? You know, some people don't want to be there. Some people, they want to be blessed. I'm thinking about those that we see out on the intersections. They want to be blessed, but they really don't want to do what it takes to be blessed. I want to be blessed in my spirit. And the question I want to leave us this morning is, am I willing to do what it takes to be blessed? Am I willing to, I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about hungering and thirsting after righteousness. If we are hungry and thirsty after righteousness, the scriptures, Jesus said, you'll be filled. You come to my house and say, I'm hungry, we're going to find something for you to eat. I come to your house and say, I'm hungry, you're going to find me something to eat. And if I'm really hungry, I'm going to eat it. Well, I'll just stop right there. Lord bless us and help us to check our hunger level. I desire your prayers.